Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
And we are back from the show floor of the Training 2015 Conference and Expo. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here for this very special edition of Learning Insights. And in this segment, we have Senior Vice President, Educational Services with Crawford & Company, a gentleman that we have had at on the Business Radio X microphone before. Please join me in welcoming back to the program, Mr. Doug Dell. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine.
So Training Pros must have something good on you for you to keep coming back here, right?
We are close friends, absolutely. Good bunch of people.
So what you have going on at that virtual lab project of yours at Crawford?
Well, we've been looking at a means to move away from traditional lab environment where you could kind of put your hands on things. And one of the areas that we've been focused on is more on the virtual side, and partly because we've driven more at moving learning to virtual. So we have probably 80% of the courses now are being done online. And when I say virtual, what I'm talking about is webcams. It's live streaming video. So there's interaction going on between the learner and the trainer. And one of the supplements that we need for that is the ability for them to look at materials, to be able to measure things. And it's something that we lacked as we began this process. And so what we've been working on actually is a 3D rendering of a room that's either had a fire, had a water loss. And we want to use that as a means to say, this is almost as good as being there because you can measure it. You can zoom in on it. You can actually put a highlighted, like a mag light on it, so you can look at things. So we're in the process of developing that right now. And what we hope to do is use that in a test mode with different audiences to see how they react to that. And then from there, we'll evolve that into other things. But in our business, we look at claims that are focused either on residential or commercial. So we'll start with residential, and then as this evolves, we'll probably move more toward commercial.
Now, does it matter the size of the amount of learners that are participating in this? Is there a sweet spot for
Yeah,
that?
The sweet spot we look at is about five, that when we do virtual, it's very much, very intimate. What we can accommodate probably six. We're still using WebEx trainers as a platform, but what's more important is that the video and the interaction is there. And what we also see is that it's much more intimate, that they spend a lot more time directly with the trainer. We actually can engage people to do role-playing as well in this environment.
So and they feel safe enough to participate when there's just five or six people?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that they also, you know, a lot of these folks are field-based, so they don't have the opportunity to meet one another. So the ability to actually spend many, many hours in front of a camera working with a colleague that may be, you know, across the country is a really nice thing.
Well, now that's an important point, because I think when a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this as well, when we first hear something like virtual, we think, because we're saving travel money. And I'm sure that's true, but it seems like there's a lot of additional advantages in that you can create experiences with virtual that you just can't create otherwise, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's more you can do with it. There's more supplements that you can offer. So what we'll do before you ever get in front of a camera is there will have been pre-work that may have been self-paced online learning, but mm-hmm. also what we're doing a lot more with gaming and simulation. So it gives you the opportunity to look at different ways of interacting with the content that's not necessarily training, but it's just more exploring the content. So we're finding that the gaming and simulation is a great supplement to that.
So how does the gaming work in that environment?
You're singing Lee's song, just in case you didn't know. He is all
really?
Over the whole gamification.
I like gamification.
No, he really does.
I think it helps engagement. It keeps
people right.
playing and participating and learning
well,
for
great.
Longer.
Thank you for answering that question, then.
Good job. You can go now, Doug.
Really, we don't need you for this part.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, with the gaming, it's still a new area for us, but we're finding that the ability, like simple flashcards, for example, that's a great example of some visually seeing something and then understanding what is behind it. We also have very clear protocol in terms of how you might approach a scope when you're scoping a loss. And those procedural steps can really be, you're using a gaming tool is a great way to say what order should they go in. So we find that it works very well for that.
So they don't win badges? They can level up, get more powers?
We're not there with network gaming yet. This is still a one-on-one right now. Multiplayer, I mean, is something that I think is, when you look at the generationally, it's going to happen. It's mm-hmm. it's probably for us, I think it's probably about 10 years off before we see that. But
when do you get those virtual reality goggles going? The 3D, like the Oculus Rift goggles?
I think that that's something that we probably will use in the field at some point.
I bet you will, because that'll show you, they look around and the whole thing's in front of them.
It will. The problem is that no two things are the same. And so, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm opening up the hood on a BMW and I'm going to see the same thing right. every time. Everything is different. The damage that's occurred will be different as well. What you will see more, I think, of is as we look at using drones, for example, to be able to zoom in on places that would be hard to get. So rather than having to climb a roof, you could send the drone over there. Exactly.
So what is kind of the state of the industry, or maybe more accurately, not the cutting or bleeding edge, but the median, I guess. What's out there and being used a lot with respect to virtual learning and just learning technology? You mentioned a couple of elements, but get us caught up on that, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that the first thing is that you're seeing us move more toward access to systems in a mobile environment. That's the first thing. So ExactWear is a software that we use to measure claims, and the ability to do that mobily in the field is what's really important. So training that might supplement that, there may be some online, there may also be some tutorials that could be live in a handheld environment that you could look at that and say, how do I do this or how do I measure that? But when you think about where we're going to go, I see that this kind of virtual support is going to be a bigger issue. And what I mean by that is that think about Instagram or think about using even Twitter. Take a picture, be able to, you know, shoot it to somebody like Stone and say, Stone, what am I looking at right now? And for us to have that dialogue while I'm still up on the roof, maybe.
And shoot it to the expert, the best guy, the guy that is his wheelhouse.
That's
right?
Exactly right. That's
they could be anywhere, right? They could be anywhere.
They could
be
anywhere. And the important thing is that it's documented as well. And that's the funny thing about this is also that, you know, we like to see things documented and protocol established. But when you look at like an Instagram, it evaporates. And so, you know, is it going to be the right tool? But mm-hmm. as you get more toward a younger cohort, they're going to say, well, that's all right. We don't mind if it disappears. But that's going to be a challenge, I think, for right. learning and for corporations in general.
So I'm kind of looking at this through a sales prism, because that's sort of my background. I have to believe that if I'm out marketing Crawford & Company services and I can tell them that we have the benefit of this technology, these technologies at the fingertips of our team, that would be a real advantage in marketing our services. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an expectation that you have a system behind whatever you do. And so using that technology, it's not so much that the technology is an enabler, so we don't lead with necessarily the technologies being the, you know, the end-all, be-all. But what we have is we have an organized system that says it's efficient, that it's accurate, and that we can also produce records against it. And that's very important for us. And so, you know, again, we don't go into clients and say, yeah, we do the best online learning. That's not what we do. We say we have the best trained people. How we accomplish that is obviously through multiple means. But we're seeing the bigger push, particularly for field-based people, in using virtual training, online self-paced training, and now the gaming.
And what's it been like getting funding for this? Has it been pretty easy, or is it probably getting easier now than it was at first?
Well, once
right?
he said that we want to buy some drones, then everybody was on board, right?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, we think about the cost. The cost to do that is not that substantial. I mean, when you think about flying people across, I mean, traditionally we would have flown you across the country for what might be a 2 or 3 week class, put you up in a hotel. You know, being able to do that remotely in a half-day session, you know, from your home is a whole lot cheaper for us. So savings
sure. okay.
on travel is
all
quite
right.
substantial. But the other thing is we can track what's going on as well. So, you know, the beauty of any kind of online system is all the exhaust it creates in terms of data. And having that data is really important for us.
And probably the consistency of the facilitation.
Right, it's always good, right? You're always catching them on a better day, or I would think there's got to be more consistency to the delivery with the benefit of that.
There is. I mean, the one is because we can also correct on the fly, basically. You know, when you're working online, you have the ability to engage with others, whereas if you're in a classroom by yourself, there's, you know, little visibility. So we have right. the ability to. We can also, what we're doing is we're putting more people kind of to audit a class as well. So just because. Mm. you know, it's a 5-week session, and your license may not be the goal at the end of it. You just want to learn something about it. So we're like, we got an extra seat. Why don't you sit in an audit part of this class? We're beginning to do a lot more of that.
And what about accountability and maybe even engagement of the learner? Because the fact is, we've gotten good over the years, some of us. We can kind of hide in the corner in a traditional live training. But if it's online, it's a little harder to hide sometimes, right?
It's a little harder to hide. And you know, the thing is, it's not a webinar. It's not where I can sit back and relax. I mean, one of the things that our trainers do, which I think is interesting, is they say, you know, we want you to dial into this session. We want you to use your cell phone. So you dial in using the cell phone, and it basically it doesn't allow you to play with the phone at that point. So you're using it as part of the tool. So
no more words with friends.
Exactly.
Now you got to get another phone for the words with friends.
Exactly. But it's a little trick to say, you know what, let me just take that distraction and put it to the
right
side.
And the gamification forces them to participate because they want to move up in the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the gamification really right now is being used as a supplement. The challenge that I think we face is the fact that is it substantial enough training to qualify? That's the issue at hand, because a lot of what we do ties back to state licensing. State licensing has certain prescribed number of hours and how those hours are spent. And they're not at the point yet of, I think, really appreciating the depth and the knowledge that can be gained from gaming.
All right, so how are you going to invest the balance of your time here at the conference? You're wrapping it up this afternoon?
You're speaking?
You're going to have some cocktails? What's going on?
No, we're just, I'm making a rounds, talking to a lot of vendors, actually, that I've seen here, and, you know, some interesting things going on. I'm asking a lot of questions, too, because I'm actually kind of curious about the fact you're seeing, for example, people do more with audio, and you ask the question about, is audio, you know, audio is not going away. You know, I look at like a site like Pandora, for example, and I say, is there an opportunity for learning within that?
So you know, you we're on audio right now, though.
I know. Listen. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
You know that.
But think about it, if you had a channel like that, right?
You can dream. You can dream.
Dream big, right? But, you know, if you think about like a Spotify or a Pandora where they had a learning channel and you could put.
Imagine a Crawford channel. Just your material.
Only if Stone could be there, right?
You're across the street from us.
We can make it happen.
All right, so you're visiting with folks, you're learning about things, and you're opening your eyes to and seriously exploring things like audio. Maybe that's a marvelous platform for a lot of what you're trying to accomplish.
For, you know, again, we have people that spend a lot of time in cars. They're going out to assess damage, and the ability for them to use that time wisely is important. And I think that these kind of short blips of content that could be delivered through audio may be something that we have to explore more. I mean, a lot of what we do is visual, obviously, but again, the audio piece, when you asked about what do I see around the floor,
right.
One of the interesting things that I see is that there is a lot of listening still going on.
That's right, and you have to have the information in the channel that is appropriate for the learner, so it makes sense to have it everywhere.
Exactly.
All right, somebody wanted to find you, your name's tricky on LinkedIn, right? There's like a million Doug Dells.
But not related to the right Dell. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. And at Crawford, there's probably a short list of Doug Dells, right?
CrawfordEducationalServices.com. Exactly. That's where we are.
Doug, thanks so much for making the time to catch up with us, man.
Good deal. Thank you so much.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.